Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We look at and explore important aspects and areas of life, including business, sales, physical, mental, relationships, spiritual, disabilities, and many more life topics. My name's Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor, and according to my new branding, Canada's leading Think and Grow Rich expert. I'm also a regular contributor to the Foundation's weekly newsletter. I spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was a keynote speaker at that event. And I'm speaking at the upcoming Think and Grow Rich Summit in Del Mar, California, April 25th to 27th. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone, which I had to take to fight my arthritis. And despite those physical challenges, I'm well known for always answering amazing when asked how I'm doing. Find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. My guest today is the amazing Chris Vacca. Chris was born and raised in New York City, and he worked a variety of jobs after high school, such as a printer, a bartender, and real estate. And after getting married, he and his wife moved to Florida, where again he had a variety of different jobs, ranging from construction, selling vacuum, cleaners door-to-door, to auto sales, and then finally he opened his own mortgage business. And that went well for some time, and when the housing meltdown hit, things went downhill in a hurry, as it did for many people. Chris went from doing 6 to 7 loans a month to 5 a year, and after maxing out all his credit cards and using what savings he had to stay afloat, Chris eventually lost the business, along with having his car repossessed and being evicted from his apartment. However, his biggest humiliation was when he had to call his ex-wife for a place to live, probably the lowest point of Chris's life. Faced with few options, Chris turned to the only thing available to him, the computer. And not being computer savvy, he had to sit at the computer 7 to 9 hours a day, and it turned out to be the most frustrating and aggravating thing he has ever done. But he found the courage to reinvent himself, and now at age 60, he enjoys being an entrepreneur, a public speaker, a trainer, and an author, as well as having a series of videos on YouTube called Over 50 and Broke, and a website with the same name. His latest book, titled Age Should Never Be an Excuse for Not Succeeding, Restoring Hope in Your Life, is now available on Amazon. Chris wrote this book for all those baby boomers out there who find themselves over 50 and broke, just like he was. Like he always tells his kids, when something bad happens in life, you can do one of two things. You can sit in the corner and cry about it, or you can get off your butt and do something about it. The choice is yours. Welcome to the show today, Chris.
Boy, Tom, did that actually happen to me? All that stuff?
What I love about that,
boy, it sounds like a bad dream. You know,
it does sound like a bad dream.
Yeah.
And the good thing, Chris, is that people love that kind of a story. Because there's a lot of us over 50. As you know, the population demographics, many people over 50.
Oh, plenty.
And Zig Ziglar and Napoleon Hill wrote and spoke and said that the vast majority of successful men and women do not, or a good percentage, do not become successful until after they turn 50.
Yeah.
And that's due to some accumulated wisdom and a lot of trial and error, mostly the error part.
Oh, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, but when I was, you know, pulling myself up and getting myself together and everything, one of the things I like to do, I like to read biographies, true stories about people, hardship they make. And I was surprised to see how many people over 50 became successful in later in life. And that gave me a lot of energy and motivated me to, you know, to keep doing what I was doing.
Wow. And so many people sit back in life and they're like, woe is me, I have these 9 excuses I can use. I can't change this ever.
You're over 50
and you think, wow, I don't know anything about computers, I'm too old to work. Sitting at your desk at a computer for 7 to 9 hours a day, and I can relate a little bit in that I knew nothing when I started my social media experience. And so you didn't give up. You said, well,
no, you know, and
I
the thing
one
is,
thing.
A lot of people, you know, ask me, they say, well, you know, you own your own mortgage business. You had to know your way around the computer.
Yeah.
You know, but it's far from the truth. I mean, when I had my business, the only things I knew how to do on a computer were fill out a loan application, print it out, and play solitaire. And that was pretty much the extent of the knowledge on a computer. So when this happened to me, I mean, it was very frustrating and aggravating, probably the most frustrating and aggravating period of my life, trying to learn that computer. I mean, there were days I literally wanted to pick that computer up and throw it out the window. You know what I mean? That's how frustrating it was.
Wow. I imagine. And so not something you enjoyed, but now you're enjoying the rewards of a ton of effort, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm still not an expert. There's still a lot I don't know. But believe me, I know a lot more than I used to know. And it's amazing. When I look back, like you, when I heard you going through that story, I said, wow, all that happened to me? And like I say, it really does seem like a bad dream. I mean, it was pretty rough. I mean, losing everything at any age is rough. I mean,
right.
I don't care what age you are, if you're 25, if you're 40. But when you're so close to retirement and, you know, you're thinking about retirement, planning for retirement, all of a sudden, bang, you have nothing. I mean, it's scary. I mean, that is one of the biggest feelings that I had was the fear. I mean, you know, you're heading towards retirement. You don't want to be a burden on your kids.
Right.
You know, and you know, all these things run through your mind, and it freaks you out. It really does.
It does, even if you're under 50. But if you're over 50, you realize that the time to turn the ship around is getting less and less.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the thing. When people contact me, a lot of them, like I say, they're boomers. And one of the things they say, well, you know, I'm too old for this, or I'm too old to start something new, or,
you know,
at my age, how do you expect me to do things like that, you know? And they make every excuse in the book. As a matter of fact, one of the things I talk about on my videos and in my book is a disease that's going around the country. It's been around for a long time, and it's called excusitis. I mean, people make excuses. You wouldn't believe the excuses I get for people not want to do things in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, my eyes are green, my eyes are blue, my hair is brown, I have no hair. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable.
I have fake hair.
Yes. they look for any excuse in the book. And that's one of the things that they have to, I try to relate in my book and my videos also, is you have to stop making excuses and just do it. And that's
exactly.
It. I mean, you know that better than anybody.
And one of my biggest pet peeves is that people with excuses. There's a lot of people who can give you the top 3 excuses why they can't do anything right off the top.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. Sometimes you have to live with and work around and be related to a lot of those type of people. But the real people making a difference admit responsibility. I created my life. And if you're over 50 and you're making excuses, it's probably because you started since you were like 20 making excuses.
Yeah.
And so it's so kind of a little tougher if you've been doing it for 30 years to get out of excuse-itis-ville. And so very, very tough. Now, Chris, you write in your book about 3 people that most people would be familiar with. All of them, there's one I don't recognize. You talk about Harlan Davis Saunders from KFC, and
Harlan
Saunders lived in Mississauga, where I live.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Colonel Sanders. A lot of people don't realize that he was a failure at a lot of things in his life. Right?
Yeah.
Went bankrupt.
Yeah.
And what he did when he turned 65, the day that he turned 65 and got his first Social Security check, that's when he went on the road and pushed Kentucky Fried Chicken and built it into, well, what it is today.
And he took 1,009 no's before one person said yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Not many of us would have got to 1,009 no's. We probably would have checked our chicken recipe.
No. Well, there's, you know, one of the things I did in my past life was I was in car sales. And one of the things they teach you in there is that the customer is going to say no an average of 10 times before he's going to say yes. But I can't. That many no's, boy. Man, that guy had willpower.
Well, amazing. And now someone else you write about, I didn't recognize the name, Anna Marie Robertson. Tell us about her.
Yeah, a lot of people know her as Grandma Moses. I don't know if you've heard of her. A lot of people probably
Yeah. Yeah.
She was a woman that was born, she's old time, born in the 1800s.
Oh.
And she was she turned out to be a famous painter, all right? Yeah. And she painted most of her life, and she didn't become a millionaire until she was in her 80s. I think it was 80 years old when she first did her first million.
Wow.
And she wasn't discovered until she was 79. Okay? So, I mean, you know, and throughout my book, I write about people like this that had nothing, and then wango, all of a sudden, they came into to be a millionaire or a success, you know?
Wow.
And
that's encouraging for people.
It does. It gave me the motivation to keep going. It really did.
Wow. Well, and another one you write about that a lot of us are carrying in our belly and on our body is Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's.
Exactly. Another guy.
I didn't know about him being older. Tell me about how he became.
Well, he was a guy that started out. He was, I think he was born like in the early 1900s, 1901, 1902, something like that.
Right.
And throughout his life, he did many things like a lot of people do. And then one day, he got into selling milkshake mixer machines, you know, make malted milk and things like
that. Right.
Mm-hmm. And he was like 53, all right? And one of his, as he was going out trying to sell his things, he ran into the McDonald brothers. And the rest is history. I mean, and he didn't become a millionaire until he was in his 50s.
Right, and he's impacting the weight of millions of North Americans still today.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's like I say, it's motivating to read about these people and realize that what they did after they were 50, when they were, you know, our age now. But it's amazing.
Hey, I'm 49. Don't push me to 50 yet.
Oh boy, I remember the day I turned 50.
I'm going to be hung over. I hope.
50, you old bag, you old bat now, you know. But it's not as bad as it seems, as it sounds.
Very good, very good. Now, Chris, you also have, you write in your book, I believe it's a chapter about having it, losing it, and getting it back. And when I read that, I kind of thought of Walt Disney as well. You might use him as an example because he failed at numerous business ventures, I think 7, before we ever heard of the amazing Walt Disney that we know today.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, Napoleon Hill even, that he wrote about, we interviewed 500 successful people, and Napoleon Hill was born in the 1800s like Grandma Moses. A lot of those people had a lot of failures. They lost it, and they got it back. So you have a great story, and you tell it so that people know.
Yeah, I tell
it
in one chapter from the beginning, how I, you know, how I got my mortgage business together, how things were rolling great, and I was making good money, and all of a sudden, bam, it was just like a, you know, somebody hits you with a hammer. Wow, what the hell happened here?
Yeah.
You know, you go from making over $100,000 a year to making, you know, $18,000. I mean, that's a big drop.
Right. But a lot of people, successful people over 50, that has happened, but they kick the dust off, they moan and groan for about 48 minutes, and they start over again. And
well, some people don't, and that's a shame.
A lot of people don't, yeah.
You know, and I talk to a lot of people, and the thing they need to restore is, that's why I wrote this book, is to restore hope in their life. I mean, when you're so close to retirement age like that, and there's a lot of people out. I was surprised at how many people out there that got affected by this economy, okay, that are over 50.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they try whatever they try, and nothing seems to work, and then they just give up. And a lot of them just, well, I'm just going to take my retirement and live my life like that, you know. And that's a shame. That's a shame because they have so much to give with the knowledge and the experience they have. If they would only learn to use it, I mean, they could do whatever they want. You know?
Exactly.
Especially with kids today, they don't want to do anything. You know.
Yeah.
We live in that entitlement society right now. They expect everything.
Right.
I mean, the older guys get out there and hustle, and the younger ones want to kick back.
Oh, I'd rather hire a person over 50 than a person under 25 any day just because of the work ethic, and for sure. So don't think of yourself as washed up. You have a ton of knowledge and experience and wisdom, and so no time to give up. Just get back into it. But, Chris, let's talk about, because so many people, and I talk a lot about the principle of learning from adversity and defeat, so many people experience defeat and adversity. But what are some of the steps and maybe some of the keys to lift yourself up out of that? Because it's only natural that the negative thoughts start zinging around, the 70,000 thoughts you have a day, and they're whipping around there. How do you say, okay, enough of that? I'm 50, but so what? I'm getting up and I'm making a difference in the world here.
Yeah, the only thing I could tell, which I tell in the book, and what works for me. I mean, and if it works for one person, it's going to work for somebody else. And the one thing I did, I mean, you got to clear your mind of the cobwebs.
Mm. Yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
Throughout the book, I talk about PMA, which I believe is so important, you know, positive mental attitude for those out there that don't know what PMA is. But if they're listening to you, they probably do know what PMA is.
They better.
But throughout the book, I talk about PMA, and it's so important to get started with. Start reading books, positive books, all right?
Uh-huh.
Keep away from the negativity.
Ooh.
I mean, you know, and the hardest thing to do when you start something new, one of the things for me was you got to push all that negativity out of your mind. And it's hard. You know, people think it's easy. Oh, yeah, I could do that. I just won't think about it. But that's a lot of bull because it hangs on you like a dark cloud when something like this happens to you. And it's so hard when if you don't learn to push that negativity away, push it out of your mind, you'll never be able to be successful at starting something new.
Exactly. And you and I are happy to admit to people that, even I'm Mr. PME, but geez, you know, I have 70,000 thoughts a day like you, and when they get onto the negative cycle, they can just go nuts. And so because I've read hundreds of books of people in horrible circumstances doing amazing things, my mind now can automatically shift and say, well, remember W. Mitchell, remember Kyle Maynard, born with no arms and legs, and other people. And so lifting yourself up is a daily, often an hourly process, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of that old saying, and listening to your, you know, your experience reminded me of that old saying, you know, I cried because I had no shoes until I saw a man that had no feet. You know, there's always somebody that's worse off than you, and you know, you should be thankful for what you have.
Amen. Chris, I talk about 40% of the world lives on less than $2 a day, and you're a nice guy. I'm a nice guy, but I'm no nicer or more kind to be born in North America than those people are to be born in a third world country. So no matter what pain or aches or surgeries or physical challenges I have, I'm in Canada, in my situation, in the top 1-5% of the world. But I could focus on the 95%. Or, you know, I could focus on the challenges instead of being in the top 5%, right? So our blessings, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you got to be thankful for what you have, because no matter what happened to me, I mean, I look back and, I could have been living under a bridge. You know, I mean, thank God me and my ex-wife remained friends. And she let me, you know, stay with her until I got back on my feet.
Yeah.
But, so it always could be worse. And the thing you got to work on is just making it better. I mean, you could always make it. Now, how good your life is, there's always something you could improve on.
Right, right. Now, I imagine a lot of people at 50, and it's the number one Napoleon Hill principle, definiteness of purpose. So there's a lot of people at 50, they really haven't written out exactly their definition, their purpose, their idea of success. And it's not always money. You're going to need money, but it could be to feed people. It could be to work in medical missions. It could be to contribute to your community. So describe the different meanings of success, because it is different for every person, and so many people immediately in North American culture think about money, money, money.
Yeah.
But tell us about different meanings
of
success.
And it is. That's why, you know, in my book and in my videos, I talk about success being it's a personal thing,
mm-hmm.
right? That you shouldn't look around for other people's ideas of success.
Right.
Right? Because that's their idea. Don't judge it on that. You got to find out what you want to be successful, and that's what you got to go. And as a matter of fact, in the book, I talk about this one guy that I read about a year ago, and his goal wasn't money. His goal was to have no money. Right? that was what he wanted. His goal was to have no money and live off the land. All right, he gave up. The job he had a good job, he gave it up, gave up his bank accounts and everything, and he just went on the road. And he lives the way he wants to. Right?
Nice.
He lives with no money. All right, he lives, you know, he catches food in a forest sometimes. Other times people are charitable, they give him stuff to eat and everything like that. He does maybe odd jobs for food and things like that. But he's happy. And that man is a success.
That man is a success, and what an amazing example of a kind of a different meaning of success. But that is his purpose, and he's doing his purpose, and he's not harming anyone in the process. So
that's what he wanted to do.
As long as it doesn't harm anyone and you're pursuing your purpose, that is a successful life.
Yeah, and another instance, I had a grandmother from New Jersey contact me, and she was living on Social Security. That's all she had. And she wanted to start making some extra money, you know. She wanted maybe $300 to $500 a month extra. So
right.
She could, you know, buy her grandchildren things, take them out and buy them goodies and things like that. You know, this stuff that grandparents do. And I worked with her, and you know, months went by, and she finally hit her goal. She had $500 a month is what she built it up into. And she stopped there.
Perfect.
And to me, that lady's a success. And a lot of people say, $500 a month, what kind of success is that? Well, hey, that's what she wanted. That's what she set out to get. And that's what she achieved. So to me, that woman is a success.
I believe that so much, Chris. And when I talk about definite purpose, I refer to it, if you can possibly find it, as your God-given a definite purpose. So when I became a Napoleon Hill certified instructor, you have to write out your definite purpose. I wrote it out, and someone who knows me so well had the courage to say, Tom, that's not your purpose. You're trying to be someone else who we both knew and who currently earns over $1 million a month. And she said, that is not your purpose, Tom. And then we worked on it, and we found my definite God-given purpose for my life. And when you find that, not 1 second of work follows that. If you can do that, you enjoy every minute of it. And so not everybody knows their own definition of success. They think of other people, and that's their definition of success. But if you can get into your heart and soul and find what you really want, and you pursue it and do it, you are a success. Whether your purpose is to have no money or your purpose is just to earn $500 a month extra.
Yeah,
amazing.
And, you know, I even talk about Donald Trump in a book, and you know, we all think Donald Trump is a success, all right? Mm. Everybody does. But how do we know he thinks of himself as a success? Maybe that's not his main goal in life. Maybe he wants something that we don't know about.
We're just thinking he's successful in our eyes, but maybe we don't know what his purpose in life is. So
Exactly. that's why I say, don't. In the book I go through, you know, don't get hung up on other people, what they think success is. All right? Yeah. Try to find out what you think success is, and that's what you go for.
And once you find that, then it really doesn't seem like work or struggle. It is what you want to do, and that's
when I first started with the internet stuff, the only thing on my mind was money. I mean, because of the situation I was in, I worked like I said on that computer all those hours, and after about 7 or 8 months, I finally got my first check. After all those months of working, okay, it was for $34.
Nice.
Right? And believe it or not, that $34 gave me the motivation to move on. Because I said to myself, gee, if I can make $34 doing this, I can make $340 doing that. And if I can make $340, I can make $3,400. And if I can make $3,400, I can make $34,000. That's the way my mind was going, you know?
I love it. My thinking process was exactly the same when I first sold my first few Amazon affiliate books, and woohoo, I made $30. You know, I think if you sell a few books, you make like $4. And then one time I got a check, $149 from Nightingale Conan from an affiliate program, and I thought exactly like you. Okay, $149, that means I can do $1,500, I can do $15,000, I just have to do better at what I did to make the $149. And so what an amazing thought process that you and I both had. Now, Chris,
a lot of people, after 7 or 8 months of doing all that frustrating work, if they got a check for $34, they might have just said, hey, hell with this, man, this ain't worth it. And, you know, and gone.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the difference between succeeding and not succeeding. is your frame of mind.
And 7 or 8 months, I was over a year before I earned that kind of money. And so I remember even when I got the first day of 100 visits in one day, I was dancing around like I was Michael Jackson. And I was like, ooh, 100 visits in one day. And now I get 500, 600, 700 in a day. Chris, let's talk about learning from adversity and defeat, Napoleon Hill Foundation's principle number 13. And it starts with these two sentences. Every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. Individual success usually is in exact proportion to the scope of the defeat the individual has experienced and mastered. That's why your story is exciting to read and hear about, and why all these other stories that you share about. So talk about this learning from adversity and defeat.
Yeah, one of the chapters in my book is don't be afraid of the F word. Okay. And by that I mean failure.
Yes.
Okay, because each failure is another step towards success. And a lot of people in the book I've never talked to any successful person who hasn't failed at something along the way. Failure is such an important step to go into success. As a matter of fact, I keep a piece of paper above my desk, and it says, success is the ability to go from one failure to another with no loss of enthusiasm.
Yep.
If every time you fail, you could pick yourself up and go at it again, you're eventually going to succeed.
Exactly. And people sometimes, they see us at this point now, and they don't see, all the failures. A lot of things I tried didn't work. I learned from
it. And, you know,
I enjoyed the process.
The thing is, nobody talks about their failures. Everybody talks about success, right?
Like they were born that way.
Yeah, but failure is a very important step towards success. And people shouldn't be afraid to fail.
Exactly.
You know, they should learn from the failures. Okay, not just, I failed, I guess I'm not good for this, or I can't do this, or whatever. But learn for it, improve yourself, and pick yourself up and start again.
Exactly. Now let's talk about goals. We know of, I think of the dates. It may be 1972, and I forget the university, the one famous study that people talk about. They studied the graduating class. 3% had written goals, gone through all the steps of setting their goals. 20 years later, they interview the class. The thing that's easiest to measure is money. The 3% that had set written goals were worth more money than the other 97% combined. And I imagine that study holds true for people that write their goals down and go through the process. So tell me about what you're thinking on the importance of goal setting.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the chapters in my book. And a lot of people ask me this, okay, is it important to write them down? I get asked that a lot when it comes to goals. And the answer is yes. It's very important to write them down and to pin them up where you could see them every day. Okay, you want to, I know people that put them up in their desk, on their phone, in their car, in their office, no matter where, they put those goals up where they could see them all the time and they know what they're striving for. It's very, very important.
Extremely. I have mine on my fridge.
I know people that put it in their fridge.
Chris, I just watched a few days ago a video, Jeffrey Gittimer. The title was, Are You a Winner or a Whiner? There's a lot of whiners in this world.
Oh, yeah.
I put the whiners in with...
Go ahead.
Talk about how people would even recognize opportunity or not. Because if you're a winner, you're looking for opportunity. If you're a whiner, it could smack you flat dead in the middle of your forest.
You know, the thing is, what I learned about opportunity is it's all around us, all the time.
Mm.
We got to open up our minds. We got to think outside the box, okay? And we have to see the opportunity. One of the things I talk about in my book is Sylvester Stallone, okay? And a lot of people didn't notice, but he was a struggling actor. He used to sleep on the subways in the park. He sold his dog so he could eat. I mean, he went through a lot of hardships before he finally
hit it. At least he didn't eat the dog.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But one of the things where I talk about is that movie Rocky that he's so famous for, okay, he got an idea from watching a fight between this guy Chuck Wepner and Muhammad Ali. I went to that same fight, all right? It was in the movie theaters, okay? This is back in 71 or 2, whatever it was. And there was hundreds of thousands of people that saw that same fight. But he was the only one that saw the opportunity for a great story and a great movie, all right? Out of 100,000 of people, they saw the same fight, they had the same opportunity, but he's the only one that's seen it. So opportunity is always there.
Right.
But we have to know what to look for and take
advantage. And we have to have the positive attitude to be looking for it rather than the whiner and the complainer and the excusitis person who probably wouldn't even recognize the opportunity. If they did, they'd have the top 7 excuses why it wasn't for them.
Yeah, and in the book I go over a couple of things that I remember back in my life that there was opportunity there, but I just didn't see it. You always got to be on the lookout because it's always around us at all times.
Exactly. Chris, one of my favorite books, the last one that Napoleon Hill wrote with a really controversial history, is Outwitting the Devil, conversation between Napoleon Hill and the devil and about how he makes people failures. And the number one way in this book that they mentioned is idleness. People who are idle, they don't have that purpose and those goals, the devil doesn't have to worry about because they're just listening to the news, watching TV, and doing nothing. So, what do you think are the enemies of success?
It reminds me of my grandmother. She had a saying, "Idle hands is the devil's workshop."
Yes,
that's exactly what she used to say. When you started talking about it, it came back to me what she used to say.
Yeah,
she used to say that idle hands is the devil's workshop.
Exactly.
Because you know what the problem is. You sit around doing nothing, and for some reason, negative thoughts come into your head. I don't know why the positive thoughts don't come into your head when you're just sitting there doing nothing, but it's always negativity that's coming into your brain for some reason, you know? So, you know, it's important to keep this positive out. Read books constantly, positive books.
Chris, one of the saddest things is that it's often our family and friends who are the excusitis, negative, unencouraging people in our life. And talk about when that happens and what you can do to get around that, because that goes to the purposeful, positive thinking and goal setting that we kind of talked about earlier a lot as well.
Yeah, I have a video on that in my series, plus I talk about it in my book also. And the reason they're your worst enemies, I call them the worst enemies, because even though they love you and they want to protect you, they think they're protecting you by telling you no about everything. It's just no. And one of the things I go through in my book is that from the day we're born, when we're babies, that is the first words that we hear. When we're first starting to walk or something, we go to read for something. Our parents go, no, don't touch that, right? Or no, don't put that in your mouth. No. Or no, don't eat that. So the word no instinctively comes in our brains as a word of protection. So when your family is telling you no, they think they're protecting you from doing things. All right, that's why I say, I bring out in my book, if you're starting something new, no matter what it is, keep it to yourself. Don't tell anybody, even though you really want to.
Yeah.
Because you know, they'll bring you down so fast. All right, and then when you don't tell them and you become a success, then you're a hero. You know, but it's a shame that they mean well. Your family and friends mean well. But by telling you no, they actually think that you're protecting you and saving you from hurt and whatever. So
right. And I'm one of those exuberant people that shares. And my mentor, my Napoleon L. Foundation mentor, taught me deeds, not words.
Yeah.
So don't share it. But also one of Napoleon L.'s principles is the mastermind principle. You do need to find 2, 3 or more people like-minded who will encourage you, who are on the same wavelength, who will help you. But you got to be really careful with those ones.
Yeah, the thing is with that, you know, when you're trying something new and you're trying to better yourself, the people around you are not in that mindset.
Right.
You know, it's true. You know, they're happy in their lives, but there's no problem with that. Hey, if you're happy, you know, making $30,000 a year, then you're happy. So that's all
exactly.
that counts, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But for somebody that wants to make $100,000, $200,000 a year or more, other people can't relate to that, so they're not going to be able to help you. You need to, if you're going to do that mastermind group, you need to do with like-minded people. You can't do with people that don't even, they think you're crazy for thinking like that. You know?
Exactly. One of the rules for the mastermind group is it has to be perfect harmony. And another thing that's not so much a rule, but you got to find sharp people who probably can help you in different areas and who are smarter than you. And you got to give them a reason to help you. Successful people love to help others. Give them a good reason, they'll be happy to help you. And I found that so, so much. Chris, I love social media. I'm online with my website. I've become to love it, even though I started with a lot of cussing and not liking it. But when I see domain names, I think, wow, if I only had bought that one. You have an amazing domain name, over50andbroke.com.
Yeah. Well, I started that. Actually, I never even thought about putting up a website like that, but it was recommended to me.
Okay.
The guy told me, he said, Chris, you know, your story is amazing. He said, you came through all this. He says, why don't you put up a site that where you could help people who were in the same situation you were?
All right.
You know, there's plenty of them out there that need some kind of guidance, some kind of help. And after a while, I thought about it. I said, you know, that's probably right. I should be able to do something like that. So that's how that came up. It wasn't really my idea. I mean, the over 50
so
and broke.
Did someone else think of the name as well? Because I'm sure if you Google over 50 and broke, that must be a big concern for a lot of people, hundreds of millions of people probably.
No, that was my idea. Well, actually, the first one I came up with was over 55 and broke, because I was over 55 at the time, and it just didn't ring to me. You know, it doesn't sound right. Over 50 and broke. Now that That rings a
much better, yeah. And it expands your audience by 5 years.
Yeah, right.
Increases your demographics a little bit.
Yeah, but over 55 and broke just didn't, I don't know, it just didn't sound right to me, you know. But over 50 and broke did.
So, yeah. It leaves all the 50 to 54-year-olds out thinking, well, I'm waiting until I'm 55, then I'm going to read
I'll stay broke until I'm 55, then maybe this guy could help me.
Yeah, <You know? laughs> then I'm going to visit this website. It looks like it's not for me yet. And so now you're enjoying it. And this is something I love to see is, not elderly, but older people like ourselves that learn social media, go through the periods of banging your desk and cussing things out, and then are able to share a message with a website around the world. Chris, a few months ago, I had people from 107 countries visit my website, and I couldn't even name 107 countries.
You know, that amazed me when I first started the site, of all the how many people you reach. And, you know, when you check your visitors, where they're coming from, and you see Russia, China, Netherlands, Brazil, and I say, holy Christ, I can't believe this, you know.
What a great feeling, isn't it? Because I have a beautiful home office, and I build my website in my home office. And as I'm writing it, I'm thinking, holy camoly, someone from Tuk-tuk-tuk could be reading what I'm writing in my little home office here.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't realize, if you don't use it, if you're not into it, you don't realize the power of the Internet.
Right.
And I'll be truthful, I always thought the Internet was a fad. I thought it was just going to come and go, big deal.
It might catch on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, might not. Who the hell knows? You know?
Yeah, just a passing fad. And
that's what I thought. But then, when I was stuck at home and I was reading on the computer, and I started to read that there's over $4 billion in sales every year just generated from the Internet, I said, man, I got to get me a little piece of that, you know?
Nice. Now, do you have people, Chris, over 50 who read your blog and email and story? Do they email you and ask, can you teach me to put up a website and talk about the things that I'm passionate about and that I love to do?
Yeah, I get a lot of people. But one of the things that if any of your listeners are out there thinking about it, one thing I insist on is PMA. All right, I won't accept negative people. I had a guy said, contact me, and he says, well, I don't believe in any of that stuff, but I'll give it a shot. I said, listen, buddy, you failed already. I mean,
you're done.
You know, you won't.
If you don't believe
that
in it before you start, don't bother.
If you're going in with an attitude like that, I says, you know, you're not going to get it done.
And you're going to waste my time.
Yeah, I don't mind helping people, but you got to.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be willing to, you know. Willing to learn something new and accept the fact that it's going to work. I mean, you know, I got up to a point where I think I had 6 websites up. I mean, I'm down to 3 now, only for the fact because I moved on to other things. I found out, like, writing. I like writing. I like public speaking. I moved on to other things. I'm in a process of writing a screenplay.
Wow.
You know, and... So I'm moving on to other things, but that internet, when I started, it gave me the opportunity, it gave me the income so I can move on to other things, and that's what I like about it.
Exactly, and what I get a big buzz out of, and I think probably you too as well, is hearing from people around the world, and then you hear their story. I get emails, I read your story, it's so good, it encouraged me, and my story is this, blah, 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 and you think, holy crap, how did my story encourage that person? Because they have a worse story than mine, and I'm encouraged from theirs.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. One of the best feelings I had was with that grandmother I told you about when she wanted to earn a couple $100 a week just so she could buy her grandchildren things, and she reached that goal, and she was happy, and I was happy for her. I tried to push her on to more. I said, won't you rather have 1,000 or more? She said, no. She says, I'm happy with what I got now. I said, okay.
Nice. That guy whose goal is to have no money, he is a success. He is pursuing his purpose.
Yeah. I mean, that was an amazing story when I read that. I said, everybody's looking for material things to make them happy and be successful. This other guy, he wants the opposite.
He'd consider it failure if he had it.
Yeah, a matter of, like I said, he gave away all his stuff. And, you know, he's, as a matter of fact, I think a book came out about that. I wish I could remember the name of it. I wanted to read it, but I can't remember it offhand.
Very cool.
And I wonder what he's going to do with his money.
Yeah, exactly.
From the book.
He'll have to give it away. Otherwise, his purpose will not be realized.
That's right. It'll be a failure.
Chris, thank
all
you.
All that money,
so,
Jesus. I got $1 million. I'm a failure.
Yeah, I'm a failure. Oh, man, I got to figure a way to get rid of it. Thank you so much for your time today, Chris. This has been a lot of fun, and we have such a huge population.
Wow,
we have so many people in North America over 50. They need to hear your message because a lot of them have given up. They failed. They're not going to start again. They have the negative thinking whipping around their thoughts. It's never over. You're never too old. You can make an impact on the world. You can pursue your purpose. No matter if you're 50 or 55 or 82 or however old Grandma Moses was,
79.
Never give up. Never
That's
give
it.
Up.
That's it. And, you know, if anybody's out there, I mean, you know, they're a baby boomer over 50, 60, whatever, I said, just don't give up because there's so much opportunity in this world. It's unbelievable. There's so much opportunity out there, and you just got to get off your butt and go after it. You know? It's
right,
true.
Right.
It's true.
Exactly. Thanks so much for your time, Chris. It's been a lot of fun and a great message for people 50 and over, not just 55. I'm glad you changed that over 50 and broken instead of 55.
It just sounded better to me. That's
much
cool.
Better. Much better.
Yeah.
I'm going to
start
listening.
Thank you very much for
year.
Having me as a guest. I really appreciate it.
Have an amazing day, Chris. Take care.
Bye-bye.